I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations. Today on your show, Ilana Ben-Ari is a designer, social entrepreneur, and founder at 21 Toys. 21 Toys is a social enterprise that designs and produces toys and workshops that teach key 21st century skills, such as innovation, creativity, collaboration, and complex problem solving. Stay tuned for Ilana Ben-Ari in the second part of today's show. But first, what actually happens when people come to Canada as immigrants or refugees and want to start working? The Toronto Region Immigrant Employment Council, or TRIEC, brings leaders together who are committed to helping immigrants and refugees and employers succeed. TRIEC helps employers make the most of Greater Toronto Area's culturally diverse workforce, and it helps immigrants connect to employment that fully utilizes their skills and experiences. Today on Career Buzz, three members join us from TRIEC's professional immigrant networks. Born in Mexico, Marcela Chain moved to Canada in 2013. She studied at Tec de Monterrey, a Mexican university which has alumni associations all over the world called Exatec. She's now president of Exatec Ontario, and she works at George Brown College as a scheduling coordinator. Sean Barnes moved to Toronto from Scotland just last month. Within 1 week, he had a home and a job in IT support at St. Mike's University in downtown Toronto. Joanna Colmenares works as a recruiter at Accenture. She's on the board of directors for the Canadian Columbian Professional Association. Welcome, Marcela, Sean, and Joanna to Career Buzz.
Thank you.
I know through TRIEC and we found the three of you to come on the show today through the Toronto Region Immigrant Employment Council, and there are these professional immigrant networks or PINs, mm-hmm. and I know that's part of your story. So what happened? Joanna, how has that been helpful to connect with an organization like TRIEC and those networks?
Yes. Before arriving in Canada, I read a lot of stories online. And they were always talking about networking, the importance of networking in Canada, the importance of being well-connected and all this. So when I arrived in Canada with my husband and three suitcases, because that's the way we came without knowing anyone here, I started to look for those professional associations. And I found out one that is the CCPA, the one that I volunteer
so
now.
So that's the Canadian Columbian Professionals Association.
That's correct.
Right, which is one of these PINs through TRIEC. There's hundreds or something of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And did you know that that even existed?
No, I didn't. Uh-huh. I didn't. I just did my research online. I just came across this CCPA because I'm Colombian and I found out this at this association. So I thought, hey, you know what? It's much better if I try to connect first with people from my same community, very similar to me, and that way it might be helping. And yeah, it worked. Like, I started volunteering with the CCPA, and 2 months after, I got to, like, with the president, or the former president of CCPA, Paula Calderon, I just got to know her, and I connected with her, and through her, I got my first job, because she helped me out connecting with others, and stay in touch with people, and start connecting with them, and that's the way I got my first job, and it led me to my second job as well. And
what was the first job?
I was a recruiter. That's when I changed my career, and I was recruited at Drake International.
At Drake. And how did the person in the network, the CCPA, how did that person actually help you get that job?
Because she was working at Drake.
So was it one of these internal referrals, referral program?
Exactly.
And does she get that benefit, as sometimes happens when you refer somebody in, and if they get hired, then you as the referrer get a
bonus. Yeah.
That's in many Canadian workplaces. There's an employee referral program.
Yep.
And if you simply know somebody inside, and as long as you're a nice person and not a psychopath, then they're going to refer you in, and that person gets a benefit.
That's really
useful to know. So, Marcela, what happened when you got here?
Well, my husband came to study, so I got a work permit, and I found my first job 15 days after I arrived here by being a Spanish teacher, actually. It was not the best job experience. It was not, because it was an entry-level position, and I think I went through things that most immigrants go, like being underpaid, being underemployed, working more hours, a little bit exploited. And I cannot blame it on no one but me, because I didn't research that much of the Canadian labor market, right? If I had had the knowledge, maybe things would have been different. But anyway, that helped me. I cannot complain. Because of this bad experience that I have at my first job, I decided to study, right? Like to say, okay, the knowledge that I have, even though back in my home country, I was one of the well-prepared, well-studied people, well, here, my knowledge is useless. So I need to study something related to Canada. I need to know and learn my new environment. So I decided to study human resources management because of that bad experience that I had. And I remember my husband asking me, what do you want to do? You can start from scratch again. We are in a new country. You can be a new you. What do you want? And I said, I want to help people not going through this pathway that I went, because it's not a nice place, you know, where I've been. So I decided to take advantage of this bad experience and start volunteering and start doing things for newcomers. And as I studied at Tech de Monterrey, you know, there are different chapters in all over the world. And here in Ontario, actually in Canada, there are 4. And in Ontario, this is the biggest one. So I decided to volunteer there because, okay, I said, they are Mexicans. They studied in the same system that I studied. So I joined Exatech as an event coordinator because I had experience on that. And I love being with people. And I was missing that part. And then I started planning events and going through different networking events, and I loved it. At the end, I loved it, and, well, they invited me. The former president, Norma Marin, told me, why don't you run for president? And I said, no, how? I've been living here for a short time, but you've been doing things for Exatech, and I think you're going to love it. And actually, she was right, because I am enjoying it, and that's why I learned about TRIEC, and I learned how Exatech was part of this professional immigrant network and how it has helped different people. And that's something that I like about being connected with different associations and different kind of immigrants here, because it's not useful if you just join with the people that you know or that have similarities with you, like all Mexicans or all Exatech. No, we can meet different people from Colombia or from, I don't know, Syria, or from different countries that will enrich our knowledge. So that's how I've been doing lately.
And you do have a job now at George Brown College. Like we heard in Joanna's story, there was somebody in her network that was really key, instrumental in getting that job. Did it help to have connections there through the Exatech network that led to a job?
I have a lot of stories, and I love telling stories, and as you can tell. Well, actually, when it was the oath, when the new board of directors back in 2013 had its ceremony, they invited me, and there was a Mexican girl who was the realtor, who found me the place where I live right now. So I saw her, and she asked me if I had already had a job. And I said, yes, but I do not like it at all. Oh, don't worry, you know, my sister works at George Brown. And I wanted to work at George Brown because I've been working in academic environments for so long. So I lost this shame of asking for a favor, and I contacted her. And because of her, I got my job at George Brown. Because it's because of referral, right? Even though I've been applying for different positions there, it was really hard to be contacted. So because of this girl and her sister, that's how I got my job.
So I call that a kind of an influencing strategy. So somebody on the inside can influence the hiring process. So do you know how it worked? I mean, we just heard in Joanna's story, there was an actual employee referral program inside that company. The employee inside was going to get rewarded for that referral. Now, do you know how it worked? How did the influence on the inside help you get that job?
Well, actually, I think it was that my resume went directly to the manager. and it was read instead of going through the system.
So there's the influencing strategy right there that might be helpful to any listener, right? Yeah. If you know somebody on the inside, like your story with somebody inside George Brown, then the ask, the request is, could you put in a word for me? Please put my resume at the top of the pile, at least that I can get an interview.
Exactly.
Right? Then you have to stand on your own two feet.
Yes.
If you failed the interview, you failed the interview, but you got to get the interview. Do you feel like things moved pretty quickly in your stories? And I know I've spoken to a lot of people. There are many engineers from different parts of the world who come to Canada, and often it takes much longer to reconnect to a good career path than people expect. Do you hear that story? Do you feel like you kind of got into things faster for some reason, Joanna?
Yes. Well, I think that there's one thing that you need to do when you're an immigrant, and it's definitely connect with the right people. Don't be shy about asking for a favor, asking for those connections. That's a thing that I've seen a lot. People attend different networking events, but they just stand there and they don't know how to talk to others. And hey, be yourself. Just try to introduce yourself and start connecting with people.
Right,
I think that's key. And that will expedite.
So it's stepping out of that comfort zone that we talked about earlier into the learning zone. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. You know, different cultures bring different values around that, right?
That's
and so it's part of the Canadian culture that you have to realize it's okay.
Yeah.
And as Sean Barnes, we heard from the other two here about how they got their job or first job or two. Now, you've only been in Canada for 4 weeks and you're already working. How did that happen?
Yeah, so it's maybe a bit important just to go back just maybe a month or so to arrive in here. I've for so many jobs in the sector I'm in just now. From home, I got not many responses because I wasn't in the country. When I got here, it was the Victoria Day weekend, and I did do through TRIAC and JBS Toronto. I had a website called Magnet, and there was a lot of job postings in there that were very specific to the roles that I could do, and the St Michael's Hospital job came up on there, so I had to apply for that, and it must have been the day after I arrived in Toronto. I didn't want to waste anything because I wanted to work and I wanted to be involved in the workforce in Canada and more specifically Toronto. And by the Tuesday after, they called me and I had a telephone interview, and then the next day I went to and for a face-to-face interview downtown, and 2 days later they offered me the job.
That's great. And you applied through traditional means. Magnet.today is one of those job search tools.
Yeah.
So you found a posting and you applied to the posting in the kind of traditional manner.
Yeah. And that was referred on to me by JZS, that website. So it was through TRIAC that I knew about this website, because I didn't know about it previously. So that and
in
itself was a lot of help in the end.
That's great, Sean. That's an amazing story, like really fast. So
yeah,
so let me just pull this part of the show to a close, because we have one more guest we're going to have on in a few minutes. You've all had the experiences that you've had coming to Canada and the extraordinary, I guess, good fortune to have your careers unfold in good ways pretty quickly. If you were to share one lesson learned with listeners about making good choices in all of career and life, if you're just to say in a couple of words one thing that you've learned about making good choices, Sean, on your end, what would you say?
Definitely do a lot of research. That's the first thing. And yeah, just put yourself out there. Put yourself out your comfort zone. That's what I did, and it ended up great for me. So really, prepare and research is definitely the two fundamental things, I think.
Great. Thanks, Sean. And Joanna?
I would say that, as I mentioned, don't be shy and talk to people. Go out. Ask them. We are immigrants here, and we have faced this. We're willing to help. And once you get that job, just remember to give back.
To give back.
Yeah.
Great
Always.
Advice. Thank you. Marcella?
I would recommend people to study, to read, to learn, to become knowledgeable, to try to understand their new environment. And with that, as Joanna said, connect with other people. We're here to help. There are many associations that are here willing to give back to our communities, and because we know what they are going through, because we were there once, we were newcomers once. So, and we know that there's a way in which we can thrive here in Canada.
All right, so if you're listening and you're a newcomer to Canada, you've got a welcoming group here.
Yeah.
Through TRIAC, the Professional Immigrant Networks, you can find out more about that. It's networksforimmigrants.ca, networksforimmigrants.ca. And I know I looked through there, and there was like hundreds of them. There's a little search engine. Like you could type in Colombia, and you would find the Colombian Association that you're a member of, Joanna, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Great. Thanks so much, Marcela Chain, Joanna Colmenares, and Sean Barnes for joining us here on Career Buzz. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
I'm Mark Franklin, and you're listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Career Buzz is brought to you by Career Cycles. Take inspired action toward making well-informed career and life choices. Go to careercycles.com to learn about professional one-on-one career management programs using a story listening approach to career counseling. If you're a helping professional looking to scale up career management, visit onelifetools.com to learn about the Who You Are Matters game and online storyteller.
We've got one more interview before wrapping up today, and I'm really pleased to have Ilana Ben-Ari on the show. We've been trying to sort out a date, and we finally got one. Ilana is a designer, social entrepreneur, and founder of 21 Toys. She's focused on toys as tools for communication. She's the winner of the CEO Radical Generosity Fund for 2016. 21 Toys is a social enterprise. It designs and produces toys and workshops that teach key 21st century skills such as innovation, creativity, collaboration, and complex problem solving. Welcome, Ilana, to Career Buzz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. Now, what do you like about the way things are going for you in your career these days?
That's a funny question. I spend a lot of time complaining I don't get enough sleep, but I think what's exciting is a lot of the hard work that we've done over the last, I'd say, 3.5 years have really started to show their impact. So our, like you mentioned, we designed toys. So toys are the new textbooks was kind of our catchphrase. And we're finding that our first toy, which is a toy that teaches empathy, we're in about 1,000 schools in 43 countries. And the thing that's probably getting me the most excited right now is that we're now in over 100 offices, including MBA programs. So there's a lot of articles of recent talking about empathy being the new strategy, the new trend in leadership and looking more into how businesses run.
Right on. Empathy and failure. And I'm going to talk to you about failure in a few minutes, too. But what would you say as a founder? So many people are interested in enterprise now and starting their own thing. And here you are moving along in your own social enterprise. What would you say are the key skills or strengths that you use or build on to be successful as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I try to practice what we teach. I mean, I think this whole journey has been so meta for me. I started off as an industrial designer, so my background is design, and the beginning of design is empathy, and so that means connecting with people, understanding their needs, and understanding a larger context of where you play a role, you know, in your business, but also in just your relationships with other people. And I think when I first started 21 Toys, it was really from a place of I really wanted these toys to exist. But it was so strange and weird what we were doing that I really needed that community. Like, I had a lot of support early on from the design community. The toy won a number of awards. It was originally designed for the visually impaired community. But then it was kind of like, I would say that the combination of that community, if we're talking about skills, definitely, I mean, I talk about empathy being important. But I also just think when it comes to taking risks, when it comes to putting yourself out there, really having that perfect balance between just a little bit and also just a little bit of anger and something to prove. I think I'm also just a bit stubborn where I just thought, well, nobody understands this yet, but I'm going to keep working till they understand it.
Right on. Ilana, what led you to found this company, 21 Toys?
The premise behind 21 Toys is that toys are really the key, you know, skill, or the key ways to teach you key skills. So when we're looking at innovation, creativity, and collaboration, like you mentioned, we can't teach them with textbooks. So we're saying we're using them for toys. And the first toy, the empathy toy, is actually my thesis project in university. So I originally designed it for the Canadian National Institute for the Blind as a navigational aid for visually impaired students to play with their sighted classmates. Essentially a blindfolded puzzle game where one or more players are given a built pattern and they have to describe that pattern to one or more players to rebuild it. The challenge is that everyone is blindfolded. And really what ends up happening is you end up dealing with patience and frustration, but most importantly, you're trying to figure out how to creatively communicate with someone else that can't speak. And that was originally designed with the visually impaired community in mind for them to play with their, you know, sighted colleagues. But so much of my testing was done in my studio that I realized it was just as challenging and rewarding for multiple ages and abilities.
So, you know, you founded this company after it sounds like a degree or a diploma in industrial design. Listeners may have no idea about industrial design. Can you just say a quick word about that?
Sure.
Where did you study it, and what's the essence of it?
I have a bachelor's of industrial design from Carleton University, and industrial design, it's not designing factories. It's essentially product design. And I like to joke, so we're in the engineering and the design department, so we had the workload of an engineering program, but the arbitrary marks of an arts program. The way that industrial design is understood now is, you know, companies like Mac, iPhones, really what you're taught is to design anything essentially other than a building. You're understanding not just how to physically make something beautiful, but you understand the manufacturing process. And a lot of companies like IDEO, which is one of the top design, they coined the term design thinking. It's all about empathy-based design, which is before you create anything for anyone, it's the first process you do is research, and that involves empathy. So talking to people, understanding their needs. I'll end it with essentially a famous quote that one of my professors always uses, which is that people don't want toasters, they want toast. And so where empathy and really taking that, you know, innovative lens to something is what is it that people really need? And then you go forward with the engineering and the design and the manufacturing as it comes up.
Nice. And for listeners who might be interested and turned on by just what you said, how's the job market for graduates of industrial design programs like yours?
That's a great question. I wouldn't know the numbers off the top of my head. I graduated a number of years ago. But I can tell you, and I think this is far beyond industrial design, I think students today, whatever they're studying, is going to be quite different than the actual jobs that they're going to be getting. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just kind of the reality of the situation. So I think in Canada, you have a few options for the kind of organizations you can work with where you're actually physically mass producing products. But so many of my colleagues are into anything from user experience design to graphic design to branding, marketing, and I have a friend who's now a firefighter who has a bachelor of industrial design. So I think the stats right now are that what you study and what you're going to get a job in are not necessarily going to be the same.
True enough. And in fact, I don't know if you heard earlier, we have three guests, two of whom are doing different things than what they studied. So that's
right.
Common too.
Yeah, I learned that from my parents. My mom studied chemistry at Oxford University, and she's a technical writer. And my dad is a civil engineer, and he's been working for IBM for over a decade.
Yeah. Oh, no. We've heard so many interesting career change stories on this show.
Yeah.
Now, failure. Failure is so interesting. Mm-hmm. We had a guest on Career Buzz a while ago. She called it the first failure consulting company, Fail Forward, Ashley. Mm-hmm.
Ashley Good.
Yeah. And it was so fascinating. You know, like we're encouraged to fail. Fail fast is something we hear a lot. We're encouraged to try things. And yet, you know, it seems like it's not good if in your company or organization you try something and it doesn't work. But there's so much to be learned from failure, and it seems mm-hmm. like you're now on that path. How can we teach failure through toys?
Right. So, I mean, to step back just a little bit, I would say that when we're talking about failure, there's a lot of conversation about fail fast, fail often. And that may work in certain communities, especially in the startup community for coding, but it doesn't necessarily work in a hospital. It doesn't necessarily work in other contexts, in other industries. But I think what we're trying to do, and toys are I could talk for hours about the value of play and how it's ridiculous that after the age of six, play is like no longer considered a part of our learning or how we understand the world. But to speak specifically to failure, it's that in music and sports, failure is called practice. But in the way that we are educated, there is no word for it other than just failure. It's this stigmatized thing that we're just taught to avoid. And so for us, it's about using choice to teach failure education as opposed to failure abstinence. And so it's not about saying, go off and have all this unprotected failure, go off and fail all over the place. It's let's understand what failure is. Let's understand ourselves in the context of failure, and let's learn how to fail better, because it's a natural, normal part of the way that we develop and grow, and every single person will be dealing with it at some point. And so instead of ignoring it, we should be teaching it.
And so you do have a toy. It looks like it's coming. Mm-hmm. Is it available, or is it coming soon?
Yeah, so we're in the midst of prototyping it, finishing the prototypes right now. It takes a really long time for us to necessarily not just get it right, but get everything around it. So the goal is that we're going to be launching it, just like our empathy toy, we're going to be launching it on Kickstarter. But we do have a fail list right now. So if you go to 21toys.com, it's written out, not the numbers, but the words. You can sign up for the failure toy fail list. We've got over 600 people signed up right now waiting for its launch. And we'll be doing testing throughout the summer as we finalize the prototypes. But it's essentially, it's a cousin to the empathy toy. So it's another abstract puzzle. This one deals a lot more with reframing failure as feedback, encouraging question taking, and really putting a spotlight on the way that we mark and assess each other.
Right on.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.